Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Just two guys who love to stop, collaborate, and listen. Hi, kids. You are listening to the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joel Van Winkle Cheeseman.
This is Chad. Who farted? Soash.
And on this episode, the EEOC targets Workday. Oh. Non-competes take a hit. And who's ready for Chicken Sundays?
Yes.
Let's do this.
So it's funny, though, dude. Guys falling asleep and farting. In court.
Oh, Trump. It's okay.
I mean, that's great. I mean, what do you expect from an old man to do, right? Dude's almost 80. Of course, wherever he sits, he's going to fall asleep and he's going to fart. It is what it is, right?
I'm wondering, because he has that front butt, you know, like the butt in the front. I wonder where the farts come out, or is like dual exit. Yeah, dual exit on it. He's so mad about the artist rendition of him, which is funny. Like, get off my lawn and stop drawing me that way.
Would you draw me?
EuroChat is clearly ready for takeoff. I appreciate it. Like, you're in such a good mood. I love it. Yeah. It big plans this
Scottsdale
weekend.
Helped. Like
Scott's, yeah, that helped as well.
Scottsdale nice helped, yeah. And we're prepping. We're going to be in Santa Fe next week, taking a little vacay-ish action with some friends in Santa Fe before going to Unleash, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, no, I am in total EuroChad mode, because after Unleash, we're hopping on the jet plane and going to Europe.
All right, all right, all right.
Well, say a prayer for me. I'm doing a mini marathon this weekend.
Oh,
yes, ooh. I know.
Do they have the paddles? Right, but yeah, hope they had the paddles ready.
Yeah, it's it was a tradition. So my dad was a marathoner, track coach, like, and so he would do these marathons. As he got older, he downgraded to mini marathons.
Yeah.
And my sister and I said, let's do it with him. Let's start a family thing, and we kind of hope that our kids would slowly like start joining us. And my sister has four girls. Two of them have done it once and no more.
Yeah.
Obviously Cole's not running unless someone's chasing him.
Oh,
Stella,
God, no.
maybe at some point, but so far this tradition may die with my sister and I, but I'll be in Louisville this weekend doing 13.1, mostly walking miles. Thank God. There's a lot of bourbon in Louisville to help comfort my pain. That and some ibuprofen.
Oh, shit.
All right, let's get to
it. Shout out.
All right, Chad.
Yes.
This one pains me, but I got a shout out for the VR haters out there. All the VI haters that are out there. So Apple came out with the Vision Pro one. Yeah. They have since apparently cut production from 800,000 to 400,000 to 450,000 units. Uh-huh. Sony has halted production of their VR, something with the PlayStation gaming stuff. And even Meta says they're having a hard time keeping users engaged once they actually buy the damn thing. So unless Vision Pro turns around on their opinion that porn should not be on the Vision Pro, I think it's a big shout out for the folks who hate VR, which I know you are one of them, but so far the verdict on VR and headsets.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
The reason being is because you're not with anybody, but you know when you're with somebody and you're really experiencing VR, you did it this weekend. You went to fish at the Sphere. The Sphere is how you do virtual reality. Tell me I'm wrong.
The Sphere is another animal. Now, how many of the people at a fish concert are really there with you? A lot of them were on another planet, I'm pretty sure.
Physically, yes.
There was some hot messes at the Sphere concert. But yeah, it was great. Look, I'm not a big fish fan. Mm-hmm. Their live stuff is way better. And if you throw in some substances and some the visuals that the Sphere has, it's a pretty good time. It's a pretty good time. It's a pretty good time. Shout out to Fish and the Sphere for sure. The new VR, it just costs a lot more per ticket than headset.
You get to do it with people, and that's and that's what matters. Okay, my shout out, it's not really a shout out. It's the what the actual fuck moment of the week. So the following was reported on NOLA.com. A Louisiana committee voted Thursday to repeal a law requiring employers to give child workers lunch breaks. I'll say that again. Child workers lunch breaks and to cut unemployment benefits. Part of a push by Republicans to remove constraints on employers and reduce aid for injured and unemployed workers. That's from NOLA.com. First time state rep Roger Wilder, who sponsored the child labor measure and owns, get this, Smoothie King franchises across the Deep South, said he filed the bill in part because children want to work without having to take a lunch break. He questioned why Louisiana has the requirement while other states where he has Smoothie King locations, such as Mississippi, don't have them. So what the fuck?
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Out of
50 states, Louisiana is rated last, dead last, in a place where you want to live. Quality of life, right? Worst, well, in healthcare, they're 46th. Education, 48th. Economy, 47th. Infrastructure, 47th. Opportunity, 48th. Crime and correction, 50th. Louisiana is rated the worst state in the union to live in, followed by guess what other state? Guess what state?
Mississippi, Alabama.
Yes, Mississippi. Oh, yeah. So this has been your Chad and Cheese, what the actual fuck moment of the week.
The football is amazing and the etouffee is to die for. I'll tell you that, Chad. All right. Well, my last shout out.
Get in.
Your TikTok user might have been kind of a bummer this week. Congress voted to give some money to Ukraine. Yeah, but that wasn't the lead story. It was TikTok being quote unquote banned. Many listeners know you had a bet with Jim, the Indeed Whisperer Durbin, for a bottle of bourbon. Did he ever come? Mm-hmm. Did he ever honor that bet? Did you ever get
that? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. All right. We did. Good. No, we did. Jim's. He sent me Eagle Rare. He actually, he messaged Julie and he's what's Chad's favorite? And she's like, no. What's your favorite? And she's like, oh, Eagle Rare. So yeah, she pretty much got a bottle of bourbon.
she said yours and it was like, oh, that's expensive. What's your favorite then? Eagle Rare, if you can get it,
which is not cheap.
Yeah. So if he had just a few more months, he might have been able to at least argue that was happening. Now it's probably not an all out ban.
We still have a while.
Interesting. Your comments on this, your opinion on this. So yeah. They have to divest it. They have to sell it to an American firm or outright ban. What's your prediction on what happens?
Yeah, it won't get banned. I mean, there's too much money there, way too much money. China doesn't want to give up that kind of cash because there's a huge pond of, you know, ocean of cash here in the US. So they don't want to do that. And not to mention, Trump had talked about doing this before, the whole divestiture thing. So they've been thinking about it for a while. I would say that they saw this coming, you know, so they're gonna slow roll it. There's no question. They're gonna play it smart, slow roll it, but they'll find a company to buy into it. There's no question.
Now, do you think that China will release? I mean, the algorithm is not coming with the deal. Do you think? And if not, is TikTok going to be the same TikTok without the algorithm?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they actually do that on separate instances. They could prospectively do updates, which what it does is just updates the algorithm in a different instance, which is what we've seen with applicant tracking systems and HCM systems and so on and so forth over the years. So whenever you do a version update, they could prospectively do an algorithm update. I don't know. We'll see. But that will be part of the deal to understand the algorithm itself. Impact, and then obviously the data that's in the U.S. that will not leave to go to China because it'll be under, I'm sure, a separate holding company.
I'm going to go kind of rogue on this one. I think there's a good chance. No one's talking about it. I think there's a decent chance China says fuck off and they kill it. I do think that's an option. I think China doesn't give a shit.
It's an option. What's the percentage?
They put Jack Ma in some, reeducation camp. I don't think China gives a shit. They might just say, fuck it. It's gone then. Have fun with that, American government, with your kids. They're already protesting on college campuses everywhere.
Then we win. I mean, that's the last thing they want, right? I mean, they can still get cash, let's say, for instance, how the deal might be structured. I'm not sure. We're both talking out of our asses right now, but it is interesting. There's no question.
Banned in America. Banned in America. But what's not banned, Chad, and never will be banned, is free shit on Chad and Cheese. That's right. Tell us about that.
T-shirts by Aaron App. Look at this.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that's right. T-shirts. Free t-shirts, kids. Beer by Aspen Tech Labs. Love those kids. We're talking craft beer.
Yep.
At your front doorstep. That's right. UPS, FedEx, whoever sends that stuff, going to be at your front door, along with the prospect of whiskey from our friends at Tex Colonel. We've got two bottles, one from Chad, one from Cheese. And if it's your birthday, it's rum from Plum, but you got to go to chadcheese.com/free
in the air right now
to register to win.
I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
That's right, Chad. Some listeners celebrating another trip around the sun is Jonathan Zilla. Mm-hmm. Duarte Mendonca, Daniel Kaczynski, Matt Lazar, Gia Johnston, Chris Brevik, Michael Simon Cowell, Steve Gilbert, Charlotte Marshall, and Lars Schmidt, all celebrating another birthday. Thanks for listening and enjoy one on us.
So Lars is at like NBA headquarters or some shit like that, doing like a photo shoot or something. I don't know.
Like quietly the coolest cat in our industry. He's got skateboards on the wall.
I love
it,
man.
He's like laid back, but he's sort of DC hypercharged. I love it. I love it. Lars. And Lars. Not enough Lars in the world either.
Everybody needs a little bit more Lars. Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. He might actually show up. Where? In Scotland. Oh, that's right. Because we're going to Scotland. We'll talk about Unleash in a minute, okay? But this is new. On May 21st, we're going to be at the Revolution de Cuba. That's right. In Glasgow, where we're going to be jumping around all day with startups, with practitioners. We're going to be doing interviews, all that other fun stuff. But we're going to do a meetup at Revolution de Cuba in Glasgow. Notice how I love saying that.
I love it.
Not to mention, on May 21st, May 23rd, we're going to the Three Sisters Bar in Edinburgh. Apparently, people were killed in the dungeon of this place. I mean, that's probably everywhere in Scotland, but Three Sisters Bar in Edinburgh, that's on the 23rd. You can register for one or both events at truescotland.com. Thanks for all of the sponsors, for all of the help and all of the support. We've got Daxtra, got Ashby, Solutions Driven, Gigged.ai, Willow, Poetry, and we actually have some Daxtra news coming here soon. But appreciate all of the help and all of the fun.
Aye, Pappy.
I mean, other than whiskey, this is both our first times in Scotland.
Oh, I'm super excited. Bringing the wife. I know you are too. I think we're going to go on some sort of secret tasting expedition with our friend Stephen McGrath. Who knows where the hell that's going to end up. So doing that, never been to Scotland. I'm going to soak it all in. I'm shopping for kilts.
Yes.
I'm looking for haggis at my local Kroger. They don't have it, so I don't know where I'm doing that.
I'm not doing that.
So Scotch eggs are on the menu if I can't get some haggis.
There we go.
Yeah, totally excited. You know, I love a good scotch. Peat me up, baby. Smoke it up. I'm excited for sure. Yeah, love me some Scotland.
We're excited about that. Go to truescotland.com. Again, two events, Glasgow and Edinburgh. Then, well, even before we get to Scotland, hopefully we make it to Scotland. We've got this coming.
Tell the listeners what they missed if they're not watching us on YouTube right now.
Yes. Well, if you're not listening, you missed Super Dave jumping off the top of the stratosphere, which we're going to be doing with Matt Bauer, CEO of OutHire. It's over 800 feet that we're going to be dropping. We're going to be falling in Super Dave style. At least you're going to be doing Super Dave style. But listener, you can jump with us. or you can nominate a friend or enemy, depending on what you like. Just go to ChadCheese.com and click on the Jump With Us button right there in the header. Thanks to the high-flying staff over at OutHire. We appreciate you guys making this happen. It's going to be a blast. Joel can't wait. He's excited. Look at him. Look at his face.
Wearing the OutHire t-shirt this week, wearing the OutHire nice. Depends on Jump Day, if you will.
Everybody buy stock in Depends, that's for sure.
Yeah. You ready for topics?
No. We got to go to the -5 bar. That's Omar's Ice Castle at the -5 bar with Diane and Jane from Great People and Omar from Job Pixel. Go ahead. And if you check us out on the socials, mainly probably on LinkedIn, if you haven't connected with us, go ahead and do that. Take a look at our stream. We actually have where you can register. That's right. To come have some beers with us at the Ice Castle. Then we're going to do the Neon Lights with Plum on the night of May 8th. Come and bask in the glow of the Neon Boneyard with our friends from Plum during Neon Nights. Kind of like Boogie Nights, but without the skates. Just go to ChadCheese.com/events. Click on the Join Waitlist button and cross your fingers, kids. Hope you get on the wait list. We hope that we see you there.
So I have a funny story about the Neon Graveyard. So I get a text. Okay. I don't know if you got a text. Cheeseman, it's Michelle from Plum. I need your music mind. The music at Neon Nights is designed to resonate with the generation attending. Think best dance party you attended in the 90s and early 2000s. Stuff you want to sing along and tap your toe to, even if you're not a dancer, like my friend Jason Putnam. So I have been burdened with the task of going back to the 90s and the 2000s for the songs that really hit me in the happy feet to recommend a soundtrack for the party. So
she's doing that because she wants you to dance. She's going to say, Cheeseman, this is yours. This is yours so that you have to dance to this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I have visions of a 22-year-old saying, hey, we need some music. We have some old people, this thing. Like, who should we ask about music? And they come to me, which I thought was pretty flattering, yet a little bit insulting at the same time. What are you going to do about it? Maybe talk about
topics.
All right. Hot off the presses, everybody.
News break.
UK-based Daxtra has acquired Indianapolis-based Pivot CX. Daxtra says it's a specialist in high-accuracy multilingual job and resume parsing, semantic search, matching, and recruitment automation, while Pivot touts itself as an all-in-one talent acquisition communications hub. The acquisition aims to provide a better candidate and recruiter experience. Founded in 2002, Daxtra employs 114, while Pivot, founded in 2015, employs less than 10. Chad, your thoughts on the acquisition?
Yeah, Pivot was workhere.com. Remember that?
Oh, it's a long, strange trip that they've been on. Yes.
Geo-fenced kind of thing that, I mean, you know, it was kind of weird, kind of cool at the same time. But they pivoted out of that, changed leadership, and got Pivot CX.
Pun intended.
Our favorite, Steven Seagal, you know, from the HR industry actually works there, David Bernstein. And it's interesting because we're in and around Indianapolis, and they're from Scotland. Oh, what's happening? We just talked about Scotland. Eerie. This reminds me of TextKernel's acquisition when they bought the actual job bot, or I can't remember the name of it.
Jobot.
It was a chat bot. Yeah, it was an engagement engine, right? Yeah. Daxtra's ability to find the most qualified candidates through parsing and matching technology. Adding that to Pivot's ability to quickly engage and increase candidate conversion rates, then what did Terry do before he did this? Pando? Programmatic? All of this kind of comes together. So whether they do an acquisition of some type of programmatic tech or they closely partner.
So you mentioned Workhere. I think just for the annals of history, I think it's interesting to note what Workhere's model was. It was like Yelp-ish stickers on a business. So you go to maybe the Applebee's down the street, you put a Workhere sticker, and then you have to download an app. Remember when companies asked you to download their app, and you would actually do it. So you did that. And then you would see jobs based on you're in this location or you, I think you downloaded it through a QR code or whatever. And then that didn't quite work out. Companies didn't want stickers on their doors. They didn't want like all the questions that probably came with like, oh, you work here? You got jobs? Like, yeah, you got to download this app thing. Like, what? Yeah. Why? What? Just give me, just tell me what's so anyway. So then it became kind of an interesting, like they would go to Starbucks, for example. I don't know if they went to Starbucks, but everyone knows Starbucks. And they would say, okay, Starbucks, you need people at this location on 116th and Simmons or something. And then they would like geo-target advertising with Facebook. And like, we just want this certain area to get advertisements for this Starbucks for jobs, job fair, whatever. And that was pretty cool, but it doesn't scale very well, right? Like, okay, how many locations do you have? How much advertising? When is the job fair over? You got to cancel it. So that was like kind of a pain in the ass. I think they went through some shuffling of leadership at one point and then came out with Pivot CX.io. I can't believe the pivotcx.com wasn't available, but anyway, it wasn't. And it's like, we're just going to do messaging, engagement, shit. And along comes Dijkstra, who does, I don't know, matching, resume parsing, et cetera. Now you need a way to communicate with these folks. Terry Baker, who we know. Mike Seidel, who we know. Howard Bates is there as well. There's an interesting cast of characters. Makes total sense that, well, I can search the resumes and find the people, but now how do I contact them? Well, here's snap of a button. Now you can message them, call them. They have video options as well. So it's a perfect kind of marriage. And my guess is Pivot took very little money at all. So I think it was a really cheap acquisition. And Terry, with the Wade and Wendy thing, I think he understood the importance of the communication element, not just finding the job or the candidate. So I think it was, like you said, Steven Seagal, everyone knows. I'm sure Terry was like making the calls and seeing who was available, kicking the tires. And Pivot was more than willing to have a conversation about, how do we get this thing done and get this marriage completed. My guess is that the Pivot brand will go away. Seagal will be a sales guy for Dijkstra in the near future. I don't know. Howard, I imagine, will be there for a year to kind of transfer everything over. I don't see him sticking around. I think Mike will stick around Seidel. I think he'll be there for the ride. Yep. Hopefully local company. Yep. Maybe hopefully they jack up some money and hire some people here in the Hoosier state and put some money in the local economy. That would be nice. And it makes sense. I hope it works out.
I just connected some dots right out of the gate because I just remembered a press release that came out. I think it was last week or earlier this week. First and foremost, Howard was, I think, was the money guy. So I don't see him. He's going to take his payday and get the fuck out. We're just talking about a programmatic player. They partnered with Acquire ROI earlier this week or last week. Mm-hmm. And that's a new programmatic player in the space. Actually, a new sponsor, Chad and Cheese. Mm-hmm. So now if you think about it, you've got this engine, right? That is a search and match engine that can go against your database or other databases to be able to actually target individuals who are qualified for the job and then use Pivot CX to start the engagement, right? So that's like the internal passive. Then you go after the active. How do you do that with programmatic? Well, you've got Acquire ROI, who are the new kids on the block. They want to start making some fucking waves. This is a great way to make some waves, right? Be a part of a much larger ecosystem. So this is, I think, good all the way around. Again, we saw TextKernel do something similar to this over in Europe. Watching Dijkstra do that with Pivot CX and then also with Acquire ROI from a engagement and then also a programmatic standpoint. I mean, this makes a hell of a lot more sense now.
Yep. The only pieces missing are a QR code generator and an ATS.
60% of the time, it works every time.
That's why we talk about ZipRecruiter.
That's right. All right. I'm calling this the red meat block. Our listeners love this shit. So we're going to throw it at them.
Meat.
Throwing the meat in the cage, everybody. All right. ZipRecruiter CFO, Tim Yarbrough has sold what investing.com calls a, quote, significant amount of company stock, end quote, to the tune of over $60,000. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, TechCrunch has discovered and verified that LinkedIn is developing a new subscription service called LinkedIn Premium mm-hmm. Company Page. That's a mouthful, priced at potentially up to $99 a month. This service would provide AI-driven content creation and advanced tools to increase follower numbers. But wait, Chad. There's more. Workday faces allegations of a biased AI-based applicant screening system. Our friends at the EEOC argue Workday should be held accountable as an intermediary. Workday, shocker, denies the allegations. ZipRecruiter, LinkedIn, and Workday. How's that for red meat, everybody? Chad, your thoughts?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot about ZipRecruiter last week where I was calling for Ian's head. I hate to say it, but this is a brand in decline. I guess I don't have to say it. Everybody can see it. And it's in serious need of new leadership and swagger. ZipRecruiter is giving zombie vibes at this moment. On the LinkedIn side of the house, let me repeat this from the whole article that was out. This new LinkedIn service would provide AI-driven content creation and advanced tools to increase follower numbers, among other benefits, to elevate a company's visibility. Two things. Number one, this is exactly what we do not fucking need from AI. Spam. A spam creation machine. No. Number two, fix the old dilapidated shit in your current system. Your basic matching to the profile data that we have is horrible. You should be amazing at that. You suck at that. Fix the shit that's not working. They're throwing a lot of spaghetti at the wall, which I normally love. But the problem is the shit that should be working, the base stuff, isn't even working. So why do I think that this has any longevity to it whatsoever?
Why should you?
I'll let you go on that one. Then we'll start talking about Workday because we got to dig in on
that
one.
Take a breather and we'll get to Workday because I know you got some inside info from our friends at the EEOC. So the ZipRecruiter thing, I thought it was pretty funny that investing.com called it a, you know, quote, significant amount of company stock. I mean, it wasn't a huge amount of stock. 60 grand, I don't know, maybe the dude's kid got into Dartmouth and needed a down payment, or maybe the tax man had some money.
It was a family trust.
He still owns 180,000 plus shares, around at $1.8 million. I'm sure he'd love for it to be more, but unfortunately, ZipRecruiter stock is going sideways.
Sucks.
In a bad way. The other side of that to me is like, why cash it in when you can get a loan against it and then you don't pay taxes on it? So do you think ultimately he thinks, well, it's not going up, so get rid of it now before it goes down to $8, $7, $6 a share? I don't make investment advice on the show, but the stock isn't going in the right direction. So cashing out on a little bit of it makes sense. And of course, we talked about last week how the COO had sold a big chunk of stock back in December. Yeah. So it's a trend worth watching. If Ian dumps and a bunch of shares and maybe some other executives do, it could be interesting. But yeah, not a company on the rise. In terms of LinkedIn, I'm not as mad about it as you are. I ain't mad at them. Look, you and I talk to a lot of startups. We advise a lot of startups. And these startups that like have social media profiles everywhere that just have these dead, lifeless social media accounts. My recommendation is always like, until you get like dedicated resources, pick one. And that one in our space is almost always LinkedIn. So focus on that. If they could manage better, content being created that's relevant, don't spam people. I agree. Like there's a line there, and people have to follow these companies and they can unfollow them as well. If they blow them up with spam. But companies are looking for a way to like keep these social media channels up and running. And if LinkedIn can plug in like, oh, hey, here's the best time to post. Here's the best kind of content to post. Here's what's getting the most engagement. Like that could be a really good thing for companies, especially startups. It's also a warning letter to marketing people that don't keep their social media company sites like active.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, AI is coming for your job. So you better start thinking outside the box and being creative with the content that you're putting on social media. Otherwise, your boss is going to go, gee, there's an AI that's $99 a month that can do what you're doing. So sayonara.
How much do you cost me?
So sayonara, baby. Yeah, sayonara. So it's a little bit of a warning to marketing people. Again, it's back to AI won't take your job. But people who do know AI will. So leverage this new service the best you can with what you're currently doing. Mm-hmm. But marketing people need to up their game if they're social media sites, and most of them do have shitty, sucky, voodoo, zombie-esque social media sites. They got to get on that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It was funny. I was talking to a TA practitioner today, and she was talking about how much spam she gets in her in-mail. Oh, it's going to get worse, kids. So to the workday side of the house, last week, we had a chance to spend some time with EEOC Commissioner Sonderling. And let me tell you, after working with government for decades, he's a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Because he's practical. And he understands business. This case is none of that. It's not practical or even in the line of basic understanding of what a system like Workday currently does for tens of thousands of companies. Now, I say currently because the velocity of tech is moving at warp speed. And from my understanding, the EEOC is trying to liken Workday and its technology to a staffing agency. Why? A staffing agency performs hiring decisions for its clients. And if Workday or any other technology provider did the same type of service for its clients as an embedded part of the platform, then it could be seen in the same vein, right? So I believe this case, it's going to be dismissed because the laws currently on the books specifically point to the employer having responsibility in a case like this, not the actual vendor, but it does feel like foreshadowing. Knowing proposed legislation in states like California have pulled the vendor into the accountability spotlight already, and knowing tech companies are already gearing up to help in the decision-making process. So this was a conversation we will be having regularly in the near future, but not about Workday, not this time and not about Workday, you know, but I really feel like this is literally a shot across vendors' bow. Hmm. So they need to start thinking about this now. Hmm.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. I didn't know what to make of this because it did sound odd. It sounds like a loser. I don't think any person that knows is in the know thinks of Workday as a staffing element or firm. To me, it felt a lot like the EEOC has done very little in regards to convictions of AI. It's just hard. It's a black box. We talk about it with Keith and others a lot. Proving bias with AI is really challenging, and AI is all over the news. I think there, my initial reaction was, I bet there's a lot of pressure on the EEOC to do some shit about all this AI stuff that's freaking people out. What better company, bigger company, to go after than a Workday? Even though they know it's probably a loser, it's a great headline. And the headline does at least say, the EEOC is going after someone like Workday to get under the hood and figure out what's going on. So it makes for a good headline, which I think relieves some pressure off the EEOC. I do think that it is going to wake employers up. A lot of CEOs are going to HR and saying, hey, they're going after Workday. Are we dotting our I's and crossing our T's to make sure that we're not doing anything bad? Like, and by the way, we're using Workday. Are we in trouble? So part of me thinks it's a PR play, and part of me thinks it is a like, hey, we can get you if you fuck around, you're going to find out. And we're going to be in the headlines going after a big company to make sure that you guys are well aware that we can come after you. But it feels like a total loser. It may not even dismissed, you said. I don't know if that's Keith's words or yours, but I don't think it goes very far at all. It's just a good headline.
Well, I think the smarter companies, and again, we were in Scottsdale last week with Paradox, and they were very, very clear. Our tech does not make decisions. It's process efficiency. It does a lot of things, but it does not make decisions. It helps the process, and the human makes the decisions. Now, you get a company like HiredScore, right? That could prospectively be making decisions, right? And again, if you start taking a look at just the framework of what a staffing company does, they make decisions on the types of individuals who are going to be put into your organization. A technology could prospectively do the same. And we've been talking about some companies being the operating system for staffing companies to be able to really rev this up. So this is going to be a conversation that's going to be carried forward. I think it is a legit conversation, maybe in about 18 months, but not with Workday right now. No way.
Do you think the HiredScore acquisition put them in the crosshairs of the EEOC?
No. This was happening way before that happened. I think what will be awesome about this is Athena and her team are geared for defensibility and explainability. So they're going to be ready for something like this. I don't see Workday being a problem because they have the right people in place.
Power to the people. All right, Chad.
Here it is.
All right, Chad. Big news this week on non-competes. The federal government is not a fan, apparently, of them. That's right. The Federal Trade Commission issued a rule banning non-competes nationwide, saying the change would protect the fundamental freedom of workers to change jobs while increasing innovation and fostering new business formation. Chad, I'm guessing you're a fan, but what are your thoughts?
You've probably had a non-compete before. I've had a non-compete before. You know, we're in industries where it's really hard to stay in the industry if you've had a non-compete, especially the types of positions we've been in. You know, digging into this, one in five U.S. workers are bound by contract clauses that prevent them from taking new jobs from a competitor. So the U.S. Federal Trade Commission on Tuesday issued a final rule that bans most non-competes nationwide. The agency estimated by allowing people more freedom, the change would lead to the creation of 8,500 new businesses annually, lower healthcare costs, and as many as 29,000 more patents each year over the next decade. Okay. By allowing more freedom. The thing is, company protections have been weighing high over employee protections. We're starting to see a shift in that. And this is one of those shifts, really a redistribution in power.
Yes, I have signed a non-compete. And yes, I have been sent letters to say, like, watch yourself. I'm a crazy man, Chad. I'm crazy. I need to be reined in sometimes. typically what happens in my experience and anecdotally is you get a new job, you're super excited, and they go, oh, here's this thing you need to sign. Oh, it just says you won't, you know, compete, go to a competitor, da da da. And most people like, love this place. No, I'm not going anywhere. This is fantastic. Yeah, I'm making how much money? Oh, yeah. Okay, let's do that. And then you want to leave, but then you think, oh, shit, I signed that thing that restricts me from doing it. Now, how many people...
And you're trapped.
How many people stay at the job because they can't leave or don't think they can leave? I don't know. We'll never know those numbers. How many companies actually follow through on the threats of the non-compete agreement? Probably very, very few. It just creates a mess. It creates the company that just hired you. There's an discomfort in that. Oh, that we hired someone. There's this agreement. Do we fight it? Like, what happens? Mm-hmm. It should not be a thing, really. There a non-compete and a non-disclosure are different things. And So the agreement of you shouldn't go work for a competitor versus you can go work for the competitor. But the minute we find out you're giving trade secrets or you're
hiring people away from us,
those are different things. But you shouldn't restrict. This is America, Jack. You shouldn't restrict where people can go.
This is un-American.
Yeah, and
anti-freedom.
If you think about this, is off the table. It will create a really interesting dynamic with people leaving companies, starting companies. That's another one too, is like, I'd love to start a competitor, but I can't because I signed this non-compete thing. Competition is good for business. That's going to be a positive. More people are hired out of startups than more established companies. So it's a good thing. Now, what I told you on our ATAP conversation is sort of my knee-jerk reaction. I think it's true. Chamber of Commerce is going to fight this tooth and nail. It's going to go to a higher court more than likely. Yeah. The Supreme Court is a right-leaning court. Is it more business friendly? You could argue yes. In that case, where does the decision go? But I think most Americans think, yes, you should be able to go wherever you want. You can't tell secrets. You can't like do certain things, but you shouldn't be restricted mm-hmm. to, oh, you can't get a job in the restaurant industry because you worked at a restaurant. Like that's just kind of silly in my mind. So I hope it passes. It's in for a long legal fight, but I think the arc of justice will bend in the right direction when all is said and done on this one.
Well, I mean, the working class has been negatively impacted by this employee treatment. Why treat employees well? You don't have to if they feel like they're trapped, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Obviously, from a productivity standpoint, but companies really haven't focused on productivity. It's suppressed rate wages. It makes it easier for you not to get paid more. And I've mentioned this several times and I'll mention it again. CEO pay has soared. It has gone 1,200% higher since 1978 to today versus typical workers' rates of 15.3%, right? There are all these different things that are in place that are allowing those things to happen because workers feel like they're trapped. If they don't feel like they're trapped anymore, a lot of things can happen. Higher innovation rates, better pay, and not to mention, we're in a space right now in America where there's this huge division. And it's like we're not a society that's a community anymore. That's because there are a lot of people that are in poverty. If we can help them go, maybe start their own company, maybe go to another company, maybe get paid more, et cetera, people become more happy that way when they feel like they're free. And today, they feel like they're trapped.
And CEOs, you mentioned, they're actually more likely to go against their non-compete because they can afford to fight it. And typically, the company that hires a new CEO will say, yes, we'll back you on your non-compete and fighting it. Whereas the average, you know, line manager doesn't have that option. They're just kind of trapped and they certainly shouldn't be. Well, non-competes, to hell with them. In other news, the U.S. Department of Labor raised the salary threshold for overtime eligibility for salaried workers affecting millions. The threshold will increase to $43,888 in July and $58,656 in 2025. Employers and trade associations expressed concerns about increased cost and potential job losses. Chad, your thoughts on raising the salary threshold for overtime salaries?
This is another one of the mechanisms that were used to keep wages low. CEO wages to the moon, 1,200%, you know, and then we're bumping around like 15.3%. So yes, moving positions to salary was one of the quick and easy cheat codes to fucking over employees. Give them a bigger title, a salary, slight increases over their hourly wages, and then make them work 60, 80 hours a week without the overtime. So acting labor secretary Julie Sue said in a statement, quote, too often lower paid salary workers are doing the same job as their hourly counterparts, but they are spending more time away from their families for no additional pay, end quote. Again, we're on this big blue ball one time, kids. Got to spend it with the people that we love. Not saying that we don't like people at work, but we've got things to do. Go get your feet in the sand. Go enjoy time with your family. And doing this and not getting the pay, the salary pay, this is about happiness. And these types of moves are going to make people more happy.
I know I, for one, can't stand my coworker, but that's a different podcast altogether. you're right. Look,
you're not with me 40 hours a week. That's for damn sure.
Thank God for that. Employers are always looking for ways to skirt the rules, stick it to the man, if you will, stick it to the little guy. And this is a way to do it. Like we don't want to pay you more as an hourly. We'll make you a salaried employee and all the benefits that come with being a salaried employee.
Manager.
Oh, you got to work late again. But you're not an hourly employee, so your salary doesn't move. It's sort of a dirty game. I'm not saying all employers do that. According to this release, about 4 million workers are impacted by this new law positively. What I think is interesting is that they're saying that the income transfer from employer to employee is going to be to the tune of about $1.5 billion a year. And you and I both know that historically, if money goes in the hands of working people, it goes right back into the economy in the form of services and goods. If it sticks in this in the realm of the employer,
it's all good.
It gets it gets hidden away in savings, whatever. So to me, I think this could be a really interesting injection of activity in the economy, where this money goes right back into goods and services. So I think that's something that a lot of people aren't thinking about when we're giving money back to the working class. So good for the economy, good for those folks, and probably not all that bad for the employers, by the way. Not at all. Well, in more news in the Power to the People block chat, in a historic victory for the UAW, nearly three quarters of Volkswagen workers in Chattanooga, Tennessee, voted to unionize, marking the first successful auto factory unionization in the South since the 1940s. This win caps off a strong year for the U.S. labor market, which has seen increased support and organizing victories across various industries. The UAW aims to use this momentum to continue its organizing effort into the South, including at Mercedes-Benz facilities in Alabama. Chad, your thoughts?
Yeah, Sean Fain has a message. He's actually speaking directly to the laborers, and he's winning. We just talked about the, again, CEO pay. That's what he's talking about. He's talked about specifically CEO pay. Why are they getting these huge raises and you guys are getting fucked? And you're getting, and you're paying, and you're working harder for the same pay, right? So, I mean, this is all about fairness. Plus, what I thought was interesting, Biden jumped on the train very quickly and he chimed in and said, quote, "Let me be clear to the Republican governors that tried to undermine this vote. There is nothing to fear from American workers using their own voice and their legal right to form a union if they so choose," end quote. On the back of that win for unions, Biden also won the endorsement of the North America Building Trade Union Association. So after decades of employees getting fucked over, CEO pay skyrocketing while American workers accept poverty wages, trapped in jobs with non-competes, forced to work overtime without getting paid for overtime, it feels like the American worker is finally, are we getting our time? Is the time That's happening, Joel?
Winning.
We're getting our time, and as one of our guests said, it's a 5-year holiday from the robots taking over everything, which may or may not be true. I guess we'll find out at some point. Yeah, look, I was shocked. You know, I was shocked when Detroit succumbed to when the UAW won in Detroit. I was shocked, and frankly, that it's heading south. I'm not as shocked. Like, it was a big win. Winning is contagious.
Yeah.
And more workers are seeing what's happening in Detroit, and they want that. They want a little piece of that in the South and the West. And then even in Texas, they want a little bit of that.
Don't blame them.
Elon Musk, I'm sure, is scared to death. I don't know if you saw what, you know, Tesla's up to, but things are a little challenged at Tesla. So the last thing Elon wants is a union uprising, but this is the world we live in. And this is a trend that's going to keep going and going, and car companies and everyone needs to think about it. And look, even you mentioned some other news outside of that, like we shared a story about Samsung and the 6-day work week at Samsung for thought jobs or knowledge-based jobs. You look at Google rolling back requirements that U.S. suppliers and staffing firms pay their employees at least $15 an hour in a move to avoid bargaining with unions. So even companies that we don't necessarily think of as union caring are now suddenly thinking about the unions. And Samsung, like, 6 days a week, why? I don't know. Yeah. In Europe, they're giving robots days off, for God's sakes. Like, let's make the humans work more, and we're going to give robots some time off. So it's a trend you got to root for, I think, no matter where you are politically. Like, people that have been sucking it for a long time are finally getting their due, and I think it's a good thing.
Amen.
We'll be right back. Can I get a little fast food news for my final block?
I think you're going to get it. I think you're going to get it. Yeah.
Chick-fil-A employee at Mary the Siren was told by the chain's PR team to stop posting TikTok reviews. She then partnered with Shake Shack, with her first post getting over 865,000 views. The partnership coincided with Shake Shack's Chicken Sundays campaign, In case you missed it, wow. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. Mary gained over 50,000 TikTok followers since starting her reviews in January, totaling over 105,000 followers to date. Chad, your thoughts on this chicken battle?
I mean, Jesus chicken be damned. What idiots. And this isn't a new story at all. For all of you Chad and Cheese veteran listeners, you will remember our Lightning in a Paint Can episode back in 2020, where we talked to Tony Pilosino, a former Sherwin-Williams employee and TikTok superstar who was fired from Sherwin-Williams for posting paint mixing videos. People were loving watching the Sherwin-Williams paint, and it got fired. So I'm sure Sherwin-Williams, they couldn't even spell TikTok back in 2020, but 4 years later, everyone knows TikTok, and you have an influencer under your own roof who's pimping Jesus chicken for free? I mean, come on, man.
Well, first of all, for Shake Shack. Like, phase one of this, like you mentioned, Sherwin-Williams dumps a dude with millions of views on how to mix paints and shit. If this had happened today, let's hope that Lowe's or whoever the hell else sells paint would be like, oh, we're happy to bring you into the TikTok fold over here at Lowe's until it's banned by Congress in a few weeks. Yeah. But good on Shake Shack for seeing an opportunity and grabbing it. The whole closed on Sunday thing, to me, I'm shocked that no one sort of picked up on that, because chicken sandwiches are huge, right? Popeyes, everyone's dropping chicken sandwiches. And Shake Shack, this probably isn't their brand, but if like Burger King should have done like the Hell's Chicken sandwich, like only available on Sunday, to kind of stick it to Chick-fil-A. But talking about chicken, Chad, I don't know if you saw Chipotle's earnings this week, but they are crushing it. The Al Pastor chicken, I don't know if you've tried this stuff. It's amazing. They're selling so much of it that they're telling their employees, like, don't have the chicken as your free meal, because we're selling so much goddamn chicken. Chipotle is what I'm talking about, Chad. And if you can't get behind that cluck, I don't know what kind of cluck you can get behind. We out.
Wow. Look at you. You made it through an entire episode of the Chad and Cheese podcast. Or maybe you cheated and fast-forwarded to the end. Either way, there's no doubt you wish you had that time back. Valuable time you could have used to buy a nutritious meal at Taco Bell, enjoy a pour of your favorite whiskey, or just watch big booty Latinas and bug fights on TikTok. No, you hung out with these two chuckleheads instead. Now go take a shower and wash off all the guilt. But save some soap, because you'll be back. Like an awful train wreck, you can't look away. And like Chad's favorite Western, you can't quit them either. We out.